Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John Feinstein's with us, presented by All American Pest Control, offering general pest control for your home, termite protection, or yard treatments for fleas and ticks. Or you can bundle these services together to save money and time. Visit yuckbugs.com for more information. John, thank you for being flexible with the time this week. How are you this morning, or this afternoon, rather?
No worries, Jonathan. Good to talk to you guys.
So I'm starting to think, John, that maybe Antonio Brown's not a great guy based on some things that are happening.
Did you hear, Chad, that man landed on the moon?
You know, it's amazing because I never want to, you know, bury someone and say they're guilty and, you know, all that stuff. But you pile up enough accusations, and clearly there's something going on here. You've made a lot of people mad with your behavior if this many people are publicly saying you've done these things to them. There's clearly a troubling pattern here with Antonio Brown.
Well, let's for one second, Chad, stay away from the whole rape allegation thing.
Right.
Let's just go to the whole soap opera as it played out with the Oakland Raiders. You know the Raiders desperately wanted him to succeed in any and every possible way. They took a risk by trading for him. They gave up a couple draft picks. They built a lot of their offseason around adding him to their offense to help out Derek Carr, who had a bad year last year. This was the big step that John Gruden was hoping to take to improve on a team that won four games last year. And we saw up close on Hard Knocks, you know, this entire thing play out first with the feet, then with the helmet one, then with the helmet two. And then that ridiculous series of events the last week before the season began with him attacking the general manager and then demanding the trade. I mean, so all of that aside, when you're in a situation where everybody wants you to succeed, everybody wants you to be the guy. When John Gruden was standing up there week after week saying, oh, this guy's a great guy, and the thing with the feet was just an accident, could happen to anybody. Didn't happen to anybody else, by the way. It happened to one guy that we know of. And everybody leaping to his defense every chance they got, he still ends up getting cut. They're forced to cut him. Now we come to this most recent allegation, which is, of course, deadly serious. It is a he said, she said, but it's one of those situations where you certainly have to look at it very seriously as a horrific thing if it took place in any way, shape, or form, totally aside from all the other antics that have gone on. So, you wonder, just we all know that talent is always forgiven for almost anything. But the very fact that the Raiders cut him even before this allegation comes out tells you that he must be a guy who you don't want to spend any time with him at all anywhere on planet Earth unless you're throwing him a football.
Meanwhile, the Patriots benefit. You know, they're throwing him
at
four passes.
At least for the moment, Jonathan.
Oh, they're benefiting. I mean, he's barely been there, and he's catching touchdown passes, albeit against Miami.
Yeah, but I think they would have won Sunday without him.
Yeah, and they'll win next week without him if they need to, but they'll win with him as well. And Belichick just refuses to answer any questions about it, which I find humorous.
Well, let's give Belichick credit. He's consistent. If you ask him what time it is, he won't answer the question. I mean, that's who Bill Belichick has always been. And, you know, the thing is, when you have Bill Belichick, just like with we say talent will always be forgiven, you win six Super Bowls as a coach, you're going to be forgiven for most things. And not answering questions would certainly fall into that category. And The reason I say that they're benefiting from him at the moment is because we have to wait and see what, if anything, Roger Goodell does to Brown in the wake of this last charge. Remember, this is not an innocent until proven guilty situation. Mm-hmm. It's not a criminal charge, and Goodell has shown in the past that he will suspend people before they're convicted of any crime. So given Antonio Brown's track record in all these other areas we've discussed, I don't think it's a lock that he's going to end up playing for the Patriots very much this season, but we'll see.
John, Daniel Jones, former Duke Blue Devil, named the starter for the Giants. Is this the right time to go ahead and replace Eli Manning with Daniel Jones?
Oh, who knows? Dad. I mean, here's my question. You guys are a lot more into gambling than I am. How about this for an over-under? How many football games will the two New York franchises win this year? What's the over-under on that right now?
I would put it at six.
Six or seven.
I was at lunch with some people, and we came up with seven as the over-under, and then the question was, what would you take, the over or the under on that number? I've said this to you guys before, that they made a mistake taking Jones over Haskins in the draft. Time will tell on that, of course. I watched Jones play. He is I don't know if he's a Duke graduate. He played at Duke. He was there for 5 years, so you hope he graduated. I watched him play enough to know that I'm just not a huge fan. He throws the ball to the other team too much. It was time. I'm an Eli Manning fan. I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame based on the two Hall of Fame wins over the Patriots and Brady and Belichick and all the numbers he's accumulated in 15 years in the league. Having said that, when I was doing my quarterback book a couple of years ago, I think I saw the Giants play live three times, and I thought he was done. I just didn't think the arm strength was what it used to be. The mobility has never been great. It's obviously not very good now at all. I thought they should have taken one of the quarterbacks. And by the way, they probably should have taken Lamar Jackson in that quarterback class. That's a whole other story in itself. But they took Saquon Barkley, and Saquon Barkley is a star. But my question is, as good as Saquon Barkley has been, and he's been very good, hasn't he? They're 5-13 since they drafted him. So I would have taken a quarterback with the number two spot, maybe Darnold. Maybe Lamar Jackson, if you really want to, prove yourself to be a little bit out-of-the-box thinkers. But there's no reason not to start Daniel Jones at this point. They drafted him believing that he's their future. Eli Manning's taking up a lot of their cap space, but he's going to take up a lot of their cap space whether he starts or sits. I'm a believer that if you draft someone that high, you draft him with the intent that he's going to be your future. And the sooner you can get him onto the field and starting to learn his trade, the better off you're going to be. I think Washington's wasting time right now. Nothing against Case Keenum. I admire him personally. I think he's a solid quarterback. But does Washington think they're going to someday contend for a Super Bowl with him as the starting quarterback? I don't think so. The only reason not to have Haskins in the lineup at the moment is that their offensive line is such a mess, especially with Trent Williams not playing.
So Jalen Ramsey's requesting a trade from Jacksonville. Half the Dolphins roster, if you agree with the reports, are requesting a trade. Minkah Fitzpatrick gets traded.
Right.
It seems like we're entering an era with the NFL where star players are really asserting control over the future of their own career, similar to what you see in the NBA at times. Not to that extreme, but we're seeing more and more of that. Is this a good trend for the game?
I don't know if it's a good or a bad trend for the game, Chad. But it's one that I don't really understand. Your coach yells at you, trade me. And a new coach comes in Miami, and all these guys want to be traded. Now, they were able to get a first-round pick for Fitzpatrick. Clearly, they are doing the Philadelphia 76ers process routine. They're going to be as bad as they possibly can be, try to ensure that they get the number one pick next year, maybe the next 2 years, who knows. And they're loading up on draft picks. I'm not quite sure why anybody would trade a number one pick to the Dolphins in these circumstances for Fitzpatrick, but the Steelers did. But I don't get it. you know, you play for a team and coach yells at you. I'm talking about the Jalen Ramsey situation specifically. And you say, trade me. My answer would be, get your butt back on the field. You know, when you're a free agent, then you can do whatever the hell you want. But until then, you play. Now, the NBA is different, of course, Chad, as you said, because one or two guys can literally reshape a franchise and can reshape the entire league if they want, because superstars, you know, one superstar on a team can make such a huge difference. And two, like I said, can completely reshape a team.
How about Baltimore right now at 2-0 with Lamar Jackson throwing the football all over the field?
Yeah. I mean,
are you buying it?
Yes, I am. I saw him play a lot last year. The one thing you worry about, of course, and this has become an epidemic among quarterbacks, is the injury possibility. Now, Russell Wilson's been running all over the place for 8 years and has never missed a game. So being a running quarterback or a quarterback who leaves the pocket a fair bit does not necessarily mean you're more likely to get hurt. I mean, look at the injuries. Look at Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, and Darnold in the last week.
I was thinking about those in particular immediately.
Total flukes.
Yep.
Total flukes. You know, and had nothing to do with whether Brees or Roethlisberger is a pocket passer or, you know, obviously had nothing to do with football in the case of Darnold. Lamar Jackson, it just creates havoc for defenses because they don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to rush the football? Is he going to pass the football? Is he going to roll out when he's passing the football, scramble when he's passing the football? Obviously Ozzie Newsome saw something that other general managers didn't. And let's go back to that draft 2 years ago when we all heard experts saying, oh, well, this kid should be a running back. This kid should be a wide receiver. I think there was a racial element to that. I know people do not want to hear that. They want to believe that, you know, race doesn't exist in sports. It does. I mean, explain to me another subject. How did Mitchell Trubisky get taken by the Chicago Bears ahead of both Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson? Is the scouting that bad? Maybe it just is. But Ozzie Newsome traded back into the first round. There were four quarterbacks who'd gone in the top 10, and he took Lamar Jackson with the 32nd pick. And I, you know, this was when I was wrapping up my research on the quarterback book, and I talked to Joe Flacco after, you know, some of their OTAs, and I said, "What do you think?" And he said, his exact words were to me, his wife said, "What does this guy's presence mean to us, to the Flaccos?" And Joe said, he said to his wife, "It means everything has changed." He knew how good he was right away. And I will defer to both Joe Flacco and Ozzie Newsome on the subject of playing quarterback any day, any time.
John Feinstein on 104.5 The Zone. Presented by All American Pest Control. With plans starting at just $39 a month. Visit yuckbugs.com.
Coming up, Mike Vrabel's press conference with the media, plus Marcus Mariota and John McClain. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. John Feinstein with us right now.
So, John, Tony Bennett wins a national championship at Virginia. Now is the time to ante up, get that big contract extension, make the big money. Instead, he decides to take the contract extension, and with the money they were going to pay him, he gives all of that money back to his coaching staff and to other programs at Virginia. Now, that is a selfless act from a guy who is very selfless, obviously, but I was surprised to see maybe not so much the coaching staff part as he actually gave some of that money back to other athletic programs at the University of Virginia.
Yeah, and that is Tony Bennett, Chad. I mean, when I saw the story, I didn't go, oh, my God, I can't believe this. I went, yeah, that's something I can believe Tony Bennett would do. Yeah, I've had a chance to get to know him pretty well the last 10 years since he's been at Virginia. And he's just one of the most genuine people I've ever met in sports. And look at the way he handled that loss to UMBC. 2 years ago, which was one of the most embarrassing upsets in the history of basketball. And he gave full credit to UMBC. He didn't throw his players under the bus. He couldn't have been more gracious. Ryan Odom showed me a text Tony sent him at one point congratulating him on the win and how, you know, much he felt UMBC deserved that victory. I went down last December to write a column about how Tony and his players were handling the aftermath, you know, the year after. And he never backed away from it. He said that he really believed he would be a better basketball coach because of that loss, and that he thought he could learn from that loss. And I guess he did. They won the national championship, and it's impossible not to like Tony Bennett. If he wasn't a great basketball coach, he'd still be someone you like. He's one of those rare people in sports who, when somebody says to me, you know, what do you think of Tony Bennett? I say he's as good as anybody at what he does, and he's a better person than that.
So, John, I know you're the expert on Army and Navy, and we ask you a lot about them. What do you know about the Citadel? Because they went to Atlanta and upset Georgia Tech this weekend. I know Georgia Tech's trying to move away from the triple option, but that was a final that caught a lot of people's attention.
Yeah, that's a great win for any FCS team to have against an ACC team, even a down ACC team, which Georgia Tech clearly is right now. You know, the Citadel and VMI are different. I noticed CBS kept describing the Citadel on Saturday as a service academy. It's not. It's a military school. There's a difference. If you go to Army, Navy, or Air Force, you are going into the military when you graduate. There's a five-year requirement, as you guys know, to serve. In the military if you graduate from one of those schools. At Citadel and VMI, you have the option to go into the military. You can use your military training to be part of the military, or you can just go into civilian life when you graduate. So it's a different kind of circumstance. I've been to the Citadel. I've been to VMI. They do live a very different life than you live at a civilian school. There's no question about that. And Citadel was bad in football for a long time. And then Mike Houston, who's now at East Carolina, became the coach there. And he really turned him around, got him into the FCS tournament a few years back. And they've played very solid FCS football the last couple of years. And in many ways, this win is a culmination of that. So good for them. And one quick Citadel story that has nothing to do with football. You know, Chuck Drizel, Lefty Drizel's son, was the basketball coach there for 5 years. And the Basketball Hall of Fame, to show you just how competent they are, a year after Chuck had left the Citadel, they sent a letter to Charles G. Drizel at the Citadel, spelled C-I-T-A-D-A-L, telling him he was a finalist for the Basketball Hall of Fame. So they had the wrong Charles G. Drizel. They sent him the letter a year after he'd left the Citadel, and they couldn't spell the name of the school. Other than that, they did a hell of a job.
Not bad.
John, you did a hell of a job today. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a first for everything.
John, thank you. We'll catch up next week.
I'll look forward to it. See you guys.
Yep, John Feinstein, normally every Monday with us, and nice enough to join us today with all the reaction to the Titans and Colts.